Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
And that I get to introduce you to a few of my favorite people. And I would like for all of you guys to come up here, if that would be okay. So we've got Bob Mortimer, we got Coach Ron Korfmacher, we got President Greg Dyson, and his wife Gina. If you guys could come on down here, let's give them a Fairmount Friends welcome as they come on down. And I'm going to let President Greg Dyson introduce our guest speaker here this morning. But yeah, go ahead and follow Bob on up here. But I got connected with Greg Dyson through TLC Management, and Greg and his wife Gina live in the Fort Wayne area, and we put chaplains in all of our nursing facilities around the state. And I got connected with who I call the bishop. And he is the Bishop Dyson. And he comes in and he loves on our team at Addison Point and these nurses and all of the caregivers of this facility. And he did this for a couple of years, also being the vice president at Taylor University, as well as being the staff chaplain for one of our facilities. And so we have just built a beautiful relationship over the years that's opened up some doors at Taylor University and doing some fun things kind of around the area. And now he's going to expose us to one of his good friends in Bob Mortimer, who's going to share his story with us. So Bishop, would you please introduce some of your team here as well as Bob?
Well, praise the Lord. Good morning, church. How are you? Good morning. It is great to see you and to hear you sing. Wow, what a blessing. I feel very blessed. My name is Greg Dyson, and I want to introduce you to the person who for 36 years has kept me in line and who has loved me greatly, my wife, Gina.
Come on. Yeah.
So Gina and I both get to work at Taylor University, and I just want to say to you, especially for those of you who would say, I've been thinking about what's going to happen with another part of my life, and maybe you've been thinking about going back to school, or maybe you've been thinking about the school for all of those little ones that just marched through here. Wow, that was incredible. So as you think about that, I just want to say out loud, Taylor is not too far. It's not too far. I know that for parents, a big challenge is, hey, if my child's going to go away to school, how far away are they going to go? Taylor's not too far. And we'd love to talk with you about that. So one of the things that's happening is that we get to reach out and work with the community and local churches and businesses. And so Ron Korfmacher is the person who's been doing that for us. He's been part of Taylor for over 30 years. And Ron has served in many different roles in athletics and now is the director of church relations. Ron, would you tell us some of the places that Bob and you are going to be going this week?
All right, thank you. First of all, greetings from across the county. And this is a friendly place. I mean, it's obvious when you walk in and then worship together and also see a few neighbors in here and students. So we'll be going in the county, around the county, in Indianapolis over the next couple days. We're going to be at Madison Grant tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, and Bob's going to be speaking to the students there. And then on Tuesday, we're headed down to Heritage Christian, Traders Point, and on Wednesday, Shepherd's Community. So, and in between there, we have some other stops. But those are the bigger gatherings, the bigger assemblies. But we have other stops along the way, and I'm sure we're going to meet people randomly along the way as well. So looking forward to a week ahead.
Praise the Lord. So this is what Gina and I would like to tell you about our friend Bob. Just three things. Number one, what you see is what you get. What happens here today, this is really who Bob is. And Bob said to me quite a while ago, Greg, if you need a friend, I could be a really good friend, a strong friend. And so I hope that you get to enjoy not only getting to know Bob, but also getting to appreciate his story and what God has done in and through his life. And at this time, let's give a real Fairmount Friends welcome to our good friend, Bob Morton.
Green, you're on.
All right. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay, now hold on. I got to find out where I'm at. Are you one of those churches that will say amen out loud? Okay, let's try this again, because I wasn't sure there for a minute. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
And the strength of the Lord is my joy. Listen, I serve a God. I love a God whose arm is long enough to reach me and strong enough to lift me above my circumstances. Do you understand this God? Do you know who I'm talking about? So let's give it one more good Fairmont Friends try. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, man, I got a good morning for you this morning. I'm having fun, okay? I'm meeting folks. Friends. Friends Church, you're going to meet friends. Going to give a special shout-out to my new friends over there, Judy and Kathy and Jane. Okay, gals, you're doing great up there. All right. And a special shout-out to my friend who has a wonderful taste in shirts. Okay? Oh, man, it's good to be here. Taylor. Taylor kids here. You guys are blessed. You guys are blessed in this town because you have access to one of the best colleges in America. So I know there's already been given a plug for Taylor, but let me give you a plug that maybe hasn't been given. Hey, grandparents, you know those kids that have scattered around the country, your grandkids? Give them a call. Listen, they want to get away from their parents, okay? We get that, you know. You got to spread those wings, learn that independence, find your own space. That's cool. Give them a call. Say, hey, we got a college nearby. You can get away from mom and dad. And your favorite cookies are waiting anytime you want them, okay? If that doesn't sell it, nothing will. Anyway. Hey, we're going to have a little bit of fun this morning. I'm kind of watching the clock. I don't want to wear you out. I don't want to wear you down. I don't want to abuse my privileges. But I do need to do this. Wait, is this disrespectful? Give me some grace. Can I have some grace? Okay, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I know where I'm at. I'm in the sanctuary. I'm in the house of God. I need to wear this to keep these folks honest. Oh, yeah, I need to wear this to keep you nice folks honest because I know what you're going to do. You're going to leave here today. You're going to go home. You're going to be talking to your friends, talking to your family. You're going to say, you should have been in church today. There was a man there with a handicap, and he was really funny. Okay, let me explain it to the ones that didn't get it. I figure if you're going to leave this place and tell people that you saw a man with a handicap, you just got it, didn't you, young man? You just got it. Okay. I figure if you're going to leave this place and tell people you saw a man with a handicap to keep you from lying, I'd better bring a handy. This right here, this is the only handicap that I have. This is the only handicap that I have. The other things that you may have noticed about me, my missing legs, my missing arm, hey, these are not a handicap. Oh, they are an adjustment. Oh, trust me. I've had to make several adjustments in my life. And I know without a doubt that every single one of you in this room have had to make adjustments in your life also. But no matter what you go through, no matter what you lose, no matter what adjustments you might have to make, it will never make you handicapped. Because the only handicap I have, and the only handicap that any one of you will ever have, is the handicap we put on ourselves. And handicaps are the things we put on ourselves that keep us from being who God intended us to be. God has a plan for your life. Are you aware of this? Do you have to take my word for this stuff? No, you don't have to take my word for this stuff. You can take his word for this stuff. Jeremiah 29:11. I know you college students probably got this verse on at least 3 or 4 of your cards when you graduated from high school. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for your life. They're plans to prosper you, not to harm you. They're plans to give you hope and a future. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And a handicap is something that you will put on yourself, something that you will allow into your life, something that you will give a foothold into your behavior that hinders God from fulfilling that plan. And you know what? It doesn't have anything to do with your legs. It won't have anything to do with your arms. It won't have anything to do with wheelchairs. The kind of handicaps I'm talking about can be as simple as an attitude. An attitude. You know, that frame that you put around your life that dictates how you see your day and you see your future and you see everything around you. It can be something as simple as low self-esteem. I speak in a lot of high schools. I speak to a lot of teenagers. And this is an issue that I have to usually expand on. First off, I start with a definition, self-esteem. Do you know what self-esteem is? Oh, yeah, we've heard that word ever since we were in kindergarten. Now, let me give you my definition. Self-esteem is what you see when you look in the mirror. It's the way you think about yourself. It's the way you feel about yourself. And when you don't like who you're looking at, we do label that as low self-esteem. And the biggest cause of low self-esteem is comparing ourselves to other people. Man, that's easy to do. Easy to do. Wish I had their money. Wish I had their house. Wish I had their job. Wish I was as big as him. Oh, I wish I was as thin as her. And you see what happens when we begin to compare ourselves to other people? We usually end up not feeling good about who we are. You don't need to be like anybody else on this planet. God created you as a unique individual. Accept who you are. This is what I tell the teenagers. Accept who you are. Accept the things that make you different from everybody else. Whoa, there's a concept, right? Wait. Accept the things that make me different from everybody else? Hey, this is something I know a little bit about. Do you know what I've learned? I have learned that when you can accept the things that make you different from everybody else in the room, it sure makes it a whole lot easier for everybody else in the room to accept you also. Accept your bodies. Really, I do not have enough time to go off on this one, okay? I really do not. Brock, I'm not going there, okay? Bring me back. I'll spend 45 minutes talking about this one. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. Accept the beauty God gave you, not the beauty that the world is selling you. It's who God intended you to be. Anything less is a handicap. Another handicap I talk about in schools and even here this morning, the handicap of prejudice. Ooh, that could get to be a touchy subject. Well, no, you got to understand the definition. Prejudice is when you judge other people, put down other people for any reason. Shade of their skin, the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they dress. Everybody deserves the same dignity and the same respect. Everybody, across the board. There are no exceptions to this rule. Now, I don't make these rules. God makes these rules. Jesus Christ made this rule. Jesus Christ gave dignity and respect to everybody he ever met. And he met some pretty rotten people. Everybody deserved the same dignity and the same respect. If you can't give, this is what I tell in schools. I don't want to seem like I'm preaching to you, but I guess I am on the platform. It's Sunday morning. I guess that's what you brought me here for. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's what the whole idea is. But I don't want to get too preachy on you. If you cannot give dignity and respect to all people, you have a handicap. And it is crippling you, and it is disabling you, and it is keeping you from being who God intended you to be. And the last handicap I usually talk about, especially in schools, alcohol and other drugs, but that just goes into this bigger package. These are things that we bring into our lives. We introduce them to ourselves. And then it goes right along with like the pornography and a lot of other disorders, the other controlling behaviors. We introduce them, we bring them into our lives, and then they get this little foothold. And the next thing you know, they're getting a bigger stronghold. And then the next thing you know, you're filtering about everything you do through them. These are things that we bring into our lives that keep us from being who God intended us to be. I call them handicaps. So when you leave here today and you're going to tell your friends and neighbors, there was a man in church today that was talking and he had a handicap, I don't have any problem with that. Seriously. Just make sure you describe it properly. It was blue. And it had white lettering on it, okay? You got that? All right. Well, I needed to do that. I needed to establish the way I feel about my condition, if I might use that word, my adjustments. You needed to understand where I'm coming from before I tell you my story. So I'm going to tell you my story. And I'm going to begin my story off with, when I was young. I just do that because I know it irritates every young person in this room. When the gray-haired guy began this story off with, when I was young. So just for the sake of irritation, when I was young. Okay, it wasn't during this decade. Century. Or millennium, for that matter. But hey, there was a time in history when even I was young. I grew up in Ohio. Oh, now I just lost half my crowd. Okay, let me give you some background. I live in the Pacific Northwest. The state of Washington is where I live now. Yes, it is beautifully green all the time. And yes, it rains all the time. That's where I live now. I grew up in Ohio. But I've been to Fairmont. I have been to the James Dean Festival. So are we cool now? Are we okay? Grew up in Ohio, come from a relatively large family, 7 kids in the family. There were 2 girls and 5 boys. I'm the youngest of those 5 boys. Youngest of 5 boys. No, that's not what happened to me. Okay. The brothers were not bored with tearing the wings off of flies and looked around one day and said, where's Bob? Anybody seen Bob? Our father, and I want to be respectful of this man. Our father had a problem with alcohol and drugs. Is that respectful enough? He was an alcoholic, drug addict. Not a great home to grow up in. And all I know, I'm not the only person in this room that grew up in that kind of home. Not a great home to grow up in, is it? You struggle with things like self-esteem and importance and whether anybody really truly cares about you. When I was 16 years old, I went back to wake up my father one morning, found his body dead of an overdose. 41 years old. 41. His life was over. Future dreams, hopes. My mom packed me and my little sister up. We were the only ones left at home. Packed me and my little sister up, moved us out to the Pacific Northwest, the great state of Washington. where I immediately noticed, yes, indeed, it does rain a lot. And that was not enough for my mother. She moved us to a little town called Hoquiam. And seriously, there's only two things you're ever going to need to know about Hoquiam. And the first thing is how to pronounce it. Hoquiam. Second thing you need to know is this. In the state of Washington, it rains a lot. In the town of Hoquiam, it rains a lot. Exactly. And you haven't even been there. And this is where I'm at. I'm 16 years old, right? 16 years old. And I'm walking those rainy streets. I'm walking those rainy streets searching for the exact same things you all searched for at 16. 16 years old, walking rainy streets searching for acceptance. Acceptance. You know, somewhere, someplace I can go, take my mask off, quit pretending to be everybody else on this planet, and people will like me. No, I mean, they like me. 16 years old, walking rainy streets, searching for somebody to talk to. Not just to talk to, but somebody that will listen. Somebody that will listen. Because, man, I was full of stuff going on inside of me. Brother, loved your testimony this morning. Loved it, because you're nailing it. These kids have got things going on inside of them that they can't even talk to anybody about, or they think they can't talk to anybody. A lot of us do. And at that age, your age, you young people's age, teenagers' age, you need to find at least one person that you can sit down with, look them in the eye, and tell them everything. Seriously, everything going on inside of you. You know those fears, you know those doubts, you know those dreams. That one person you can talk to, and you can tell them things with the confidence that they won't tell another person on this planet. You need to find one person that you can unload on in a safe environment. I'm 16 years old. I'm walking rainy streets. I'm just searching for somebody I can sit down and talk to, because my life had just gotten rocked. My life was messed up. I had things going on inside of me that I couldn't even express. And I'm 16 years old, and I'm walking rainy streets, and I'm just searching for somebody to say, I love you. I love you. Okay, not that I'd never heard the words before. In case you're wondering what decade I'm in on this story, we're back in the 70s now, the early 70s. And let me tell you, back in the 70s, we were throwing I love you around like Frisbees. I just wanted to hear those three words one time, no strings attached. I love you. And there's nothing you need to do to make me love you more. Oh, and there's nothing you will ever do that will make me love you less. I love you, and you can always count on that. Do you remember? 16 years old, walking rainy streets, searching for the same things you all searched for. And quite honestly, some of you are still searching today. If you don't find those things in healthy places, please do not do what I did. I began to look in other places. So I started going to the parties. I started drinking, started doing drugs. Now, when I'm speaking in your schools, you know what I'm going to tell your kids? You know what I'm telling your teenagers? When you get on that road, you know, the parties, the drinking, the drugs, that road is never going to spiral up. That road is uniquely designed. It's only ever going to spiral down. I'm going to fast forward my story, because when you're my age, you can't jam it all into, you know, like a certain time frame if you're going to tell them every year of your life. So let me fast forward 5 years, 21 years old. My brother and I were coming back from one of those parties one night, been out there drinking and drugging. We're coming back from this party one night. The car goes off the road, hits a power pole, slides down an embankment, comes to rest at the bottom of a hill. I get out of the car. My brother gets out of the car. We look at each other to see if we'd gotten hurt. No cuts, no scratches, nothing. We're laughing and joking about this, because I'll tell you what, this is going to make a great story Monday morning at work. And we just walked away from that crashed car unharmed. Sometimes the most dangerous thing you will do in your life is walk away unharmed. You see, because every time we didn't get caught, every time we didn't get hurt, all it ever really did was make us more confident, make us more bold. And then you begin to think, you know what, I'm never going to get caught. I'm never going to get hurt. You know, this is not just a great story like in reference to alcohol and drug use and that. It's a great reference to sin, right? You know, some, we sin and we don't see any immediate consequences. You know, we don't get caught. We don't feel the pain. We don't feel, you know, nobody's calling us to task. And so we begin to think, bet you I can do that again. And then you begin to get pretty good at it. Well, the trouble with walking away unharmed is you never know what will happen next. I mean, just because you got away with it last time, that really has nothing to do with this time. See, my brother and I we walked away from this crashed car unharmed. And we didn't know. We didn't know we hit a power pole. We didn't know that when we hit the pole, the cross arm snapped off and four power lines came down into the road. Well, it's like midnight and I'm scampering up this hill in front of my brother and I walk out onto this highway. And when I did, my left arm hit one of those downed power lines. And I fell on my knees. You guys are familiar with the way electricity interacts with the human body. It'll enter your body where you make contact with it, and then it will leave your body where you are making contact with something else. And in my story, what that is my something else is my knees are pressed against the ground. So 12,500 volts of electricity came through my arm, surged through my body, and literally exploded my knees away into the ground. And I slumped forward and I lay across the rest of the wires and they just continued to burn the front of my body. In your schools, what I would say right now is sometimes you don't walk away. I woke up in a hospital in Seattle. It would be my home for the next 6 months. And again, I'm not going to give you a lot of details about these 6 months. I will tell you that the very first morning I woke up, the doctor asked me to sign a release form so they could amputate my left arm. I looked over to see what he was talking about, and it was shriveled up and burned from fingertip to elbow, and then from elbow to shoulder, it was swollen up to like 3 times its size because fluids began to back up. And the doctor made it very clear to me. He said, young man, if we don't take that arm off today, we will take more off tomorrow. Wow. I signed the form. He would be back 2 weeks later for my right leg. It was only held onto my body by the back flap of skin, and after 2 weeks, I did not want to deal with that pain any longer. And I signed the form. I would fight for this left one for several months before giving it up. I can tell you this much about life. No matter how much you love something, no matter how much you cherish it, no matter how much you struggle to keep it, it can still be taken away from you. They skin grafted the front of my body, and I really don't feel comfortable talking about that. If you know, I know your friends, literally, I mean your friends. But you know what, that's for another day, another time, another place. I don't like it. Of all the things they did to my body, the skin grafting was the most painful and the most enduring of it all. So 6 months, after 6 months, I'm 21 years old. So after 6 months, I get out of the hospital. And I go right back out onto the same road that brought me in there. Back to the parties, back to the drinking, back to the drugs. And you nice people are looking at me right now thinking, are you an idiot? Are you insane? How could you do that? Well, I looked in the mirror. Remember, I was 21 years old. I looked in the mirror, and I saw stumps where I used to have limbs. I saw scars where I used to have skin. I thought, nobody's going to accept me. Nobody's going to want to listen to me. And nobody's going to say, I love you, when I looked like this. And instead of having the courage to just sit up and say, this is me. In fact, friends, you know, just as Greg had mentioned, thank you for mentioning that, Greg. He did point out to you, what you see is who I am. This is me. This is me. And if you have a problem with the way I look, I 100% agree with you. You have a problem. I don't. And you better get used to this, because quite honestly, it's not changing. See, instead of having the courage to say something that, you know, bold, that courageous, that strong, hey, I just chickened out. I went out and bought a bag of dope and a 12-pack of beer. Instant friends. Just going to tell this story straight, okay? As long as I had that garbage in my pocket, somebody was sitting next to me. As long as I had that garbage in my pocket, somebody wanted to know where I was going. As long as I had that garbage in my pocket, I had friends. Anybody want to guess what happened when my pockets were empty? No friends. I sat alone. Well, not totally alone. I was surrounded by the weakest friends I've ever had in my life. You know what I needed? I needed one good, strong friend. That's what I needed, right? I met one. I meet this strong friend. This strong friend makes me realize, oh, something tells me my hat dropped on the floor. This friend makes me realize that I have a few. Remember what we were talking about earlier? What were you talking about? I had a few handicaps, but they didn't have anything to do with legs and arms. With my attitude, right? My self-esteem, my prejudice. I felt so low about myself, I was just trying to make everybody else feel equal to me. The alcohol, it was the drugs. I admitted I had a problem. You want to talk about big steps? I admitted I had a problem. And this friend took me by the hand to get help. This friend took me to a church. Sunday morning church, Pastor Brock. Sunday morning church. Now, don't be offended by what I'm going to say next, folks. You got to stick with me for at least another 10 minutes on this, okay? This friend takes me to a church. We come in through the back door. I'm thinking, this is a joke. This is a joke. Come on, what kind of help am I going to get in a place like this? I got to the back row. I said, this is far enough. Got out of my wheelchair, sat on the back row. This is, I'm 25 now, so I got my little 25-year-old attitude going. My friend just sat down next to me. You see, my friend knew that God was actually powerful enough to reach the back row of a church. In fact, you want some good news? You guys, are you good news people? You want some good news? God is powerful enough to reach wherever you are. You need to really remember what I'm saying in the next minute. God is powerful enough to reach wherever you are. Seriously. I don't care how many times you've fallen. I don't care what kind of wrong road you've been on. I don't care how dark your world is. And brother, you talked about this already. You don't realize, people, how many of our young people, our other people, in their minds this week are the thoughts of ending their lives. The depression, the anxiety weighs them down, sucks all the color out of their world. I get this. We know about darkness. Our ministry goes into some dark places. We go into prisons. I don't care how far they take me back. You hear those doors lock behind you every single time. You can't get it, you can't shake it. No matter how far back we go into those prisons, I find the light of Christ shining. Because here's the good news. The light of Christ shines brightest in the darkest places. This is the way this works. It's even physics. I mean, this is like science behind this. Light shines brightest in the darkest places. Come on, you guys want to do a little like at-home test on this? This is what I want you to do. You guys all carry those devices around all day? Here's what I want you to do. Take that wonderful device. You've got the latest, greatest one. That's fantastic. Take it outside on one of these sunny Indiana days. Push your little screen. Watch it come on, and you will be squinting to see what it says on it. Take that very same device into your home. Go to one of those closets that don't have any windows or any light. Go in there, close the door, total darkness. Touch that same screen. It will illuminate that whole room. The light of Jesus Christ will shine brightest in the darkest places. We've been in places so dark, if you whisper his name, just really whisper it. Jesus. Everybody hears it. So here's my word for you today. If you find yourself in a situation where your world is full of despair, you think that there is no hope, that things are closing in around you, and yet things are so dark that you think you have the solution, before you do anything that you cannot reverse, whisper his name. Jesus. And I guarantee you that there will be a beam of light that will shine down to you at that moment that will illuminate a step that you can take that will lead to life, not death. Okay, I got to get back to my story. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked. But everybody get that one? I'm sitting on the back row of a church, right? I'm sitting on the back row of the church. This guy up in front is just talking and talking and talking and talking. I'm trying not to pay attention. But hey, I don't want to gripe and complain about my physical condition, but when you only have one hand, you can only cover one ear at a time. But you know what? It didn't matter. I began hearing with my heart. He said something. This is what he said. He said, God loves you and he accepts you just as you are. Now, folks, I was not ignorant of church. When I grew up in Ohio, we went to a little Mennonite church. I was very aware of Jesus Christ. I was very aware of God. I was very aware. I would even say I was a believer. I was a believer. But I wandered and I got lost. I was not ignorant of who God was. But when he said God loves you and accepts you just as you are, that hit me as a new revelation. Not that God would love and accept everybody else in this church, in that church. Come on, folks. I'm going to give you don't see yourself the way that person is going to walk through that back door some Sunday morning. You know that person. You know what? They're not going to smell good. Their style may not be what you think is appropriate. They still may be jittering and shaking from something they just took the night before. But for whatever reason, they're going to walk through your back door and they're going to sit on your back row. You need to know what you look like to them. You're beautiful. You are absolutely beautiful. You guys smell nice. Your hair, man, it's pretty combed. You know, your clothes are wonderful. So when they're sitting on the back row and they hear God loves you and accepts you just as you are, they're not thinking about you. Because quite honestly, in their eyes, anybody on this planet can love you. You're beautiful, wonderful, nice people. What they're hearing is that God loves and accepts them just as I am. Every scar that I have, everything that I've lost, and every wrong road that I've ever been on, God knows all about. And he loves me anyway. No, he doesn't just love me. He loves me so much that he would send his only son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth, take the form of a man, walk in the dirt of this earth, and live a sinless life. This is a key theological statement here. He would live a sinless life so that he could go to a cross as a sacrificial lamb for my sins. Oh, yeah. Yours too. Sitting on the back row of this church, and something is breaking up inside of me. He said, is there anybody here that knows they need to be forgiven? Washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Set free. He said, if there's anybody here like that, would you raise your hand? I'm sitting on the back row of the church thinking, why doesn't this man just say Bob? Right? And I looked at my broken life. I thought, if God wants this broken, worthless life, he can have it. And I did the most courageous thing I've ever done in my life. I raised a shaky hand in the back of a church on Sunday morning and said, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And that morning, I prayed. I came to the front of the church. I bowed my head at that altar and I prayed and I poured out my heart and I said, God, forgive me of all that, all that. And when I said amen, I became a whole man again. A whole man, and I know I only have one arm. Don't worry, I know that. And I know I don't have any legs. But I know something far greater than that. I know that what makes me whole was never in my shoes. And what makes me whole is in my heart. And there is a place in my heart like every single one of yours that only Jesus Christ can fill. Only Jesus. And quit wasting time trying to put other things there. Trust me, it all fails. The money fails. The careers fail. The relationships fail. Don't do it the way Jesus will. I was walking rainy streets and I was looking for three things. You remember what they were? I was looking for acceptance. I was looking for somebody that would listen. And I was looking for somebody that would love me unconditionally. And when I said amen, all my searching was over. All of it, because he meets all those needs. I rolled out of that church, and I thought, I cannot go back out into the same mud I came in from. I need to repent. I need to change. Because see, God loves and accepts you just as you are, and he loves you so much, he doesn't want to see you stay there either. He wants to help you get back to being who he intended you to be. I gave up the alcohol. I gave up the drugs. I gave up the prejudice. I gave up the self-esteem. When I look in the mirror now, I like what I see. I don't want to sound vain, but I like what I see. I rolled past a mirror before coming day or today. I stopped. I said, whoa, Bob. You're looking good today. Oh, not because of the nice facial hair, not because of the really cool shirt. I just like the way I look on the outside, because now I like the way I am on the inside. And there's a word too. 6 months later, I'm back at that church. 6 months. Right down in the front again. This time was a little different, a little different. This time I'm down in the front of the church. I brought the friend that brought me the first time. I brought her off of the back row, brought her down to the front of the church, and I married her. Brock, am I abusing my time yet? Am I abusing my time up here? I'm sorry. I know I went over whatever time they told me, but I got to tell you about Darla. Darla, she's the most incredible, wonderful human being on this planet. I'm going to tell you just one thing about my wife. And when I tell you this thing, you are going to get a little window, a little insight into the character of this woman. Darla met me 4 years after I lost my limbs. Are you gathering what I'm saying? And she never seems to notice what most people never take their eyes off of. She's at home in the Pacific Northwest. We've been married 40 years. We've raised 3 children that I'm as proud of as can be. We've got 2 grandchildren, another one on the way. Oh, I'm going to take a side note here. Our 2 grandchildren are in England right now with our daughter and her husband. Her husband is a U.S. soldier. He is attached to NATO. Just ringing a bell about anything you've been hearing about in the news? Please, pray for them. I don't know what they've got planned for him. He's not allowed to talk about what they have planned for him. That's the department he works in. But he is attached to NATO in Europe. And there's stuff going on. That's all, you know. Pray for them and all the rest of them over there. We do have people with skin in the game over there, and we need to be praying. Darla, I've been married for 40 years. I need to wrap this message up. You're here today, and I just told you a whole bunch of stuff. I was telling you a story. And I don't know what part of the story got to you. There are some in this room, all you're going to remember when you leave here is this handicap, because you relate to it. It could be your attitude. It's more likely your self-esteem. Prejudice. We'd like to think it doesn't exist anymore, wouldn't we? But we're not in a perfect world yet. Could be alcohol. Could be drugs. Oh, those ones are so easy to spot, aren't they? What about the ones that aren't as easy to spot? The ones that are easier to hide, the pornography, the eating disorders, the things that, you know, just are driving us nuts. Maybe that with the handicap. Maybe it was the searching. Something's missing in your life. The acceptance, the confidant, the unconditional love. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you this. You know the cross? Do we have one? That's okay. It's not like you're not a holy church if you don't have a cross in here. I just forgot to look before I got up here. So, okay, that answered that question. You know the cross, you know, this way, that way, you know the cross. It's not just a wonder. There is one up there? Oh, see, I didn't. Ah, nailed it. And you got the eagle on the other side. All right, so we're cool. The cross. You know, that's a symbol, right? It's a symbol. It's a wonderful symbol of salvation, redemption, But you know what that cross is also good for? It makes a pretty good hat rack. You know what I'm saying here? You can take that handicap off and you can hang it on the cross right up there with him. That's what he's there for. Hang it on the cross with Jesus. He'll take it and he'll give you the courage not to run back and grab it again and put it back on. Bow your heads for me, please. Okay, I am going to tell you that your pastor did not give me any instructions. I did not ask him any questions on what I'm allowed to do right now. So if it's not what you're accustomed to, if it's not what you deem to be appropriate, it's not on him. It's on me, and I don't care because I'll be gone next week. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you're here this morning. And you know that you need to do something. I'm going to give you that opportunity. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never asked Jesus Christ into your heart. Really never allowed him to have that central spot that was designed for him. And you just feel you have to do it. I'm going to make it so easy for you this morning. I'm just going to simply lead you in a prayer that you can pray quietly in your heart. Or maybe you're here this morning and you know there's a handicap that's hindering you from being who God intended you to be. That hat rack thing I just did there, that's a wonderful analogy of what you can do at this very moment. You can take your handicap and give it to God. Just give it to him and he'll take it. I want to give you that opportunity again. I'm just going to pray and you're going to follow along silently in your heart. But before I do that, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I do not want people looking at other people, because you need right now to know the confidence that this is just between me and you and God. But is there anybody here this morning that is ready to ask Jesus Christ into their heart and give it to them in a fresh and whole new way? Could you just like raise your hand and just let me know that's what your plan is? Thank you. Thank you. Are there others? You know, I don't want to rush this. We're not putting you on the spot. I'm really avoiding that completely. Thank you. If there are anybody here this morning that knows that they have a handicap that they need to surrender to God so that they can free them up, would you just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Whoa. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. In your heart, just jump in and join this prayer where appropriate for you. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that you sent your son Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for my sin. I am so sorry I made you do that. But I ask now in the name of Jesus, please forgive me, wash me, and cleanse me. And Heavenly Father, I know you love me. I know you accept me. I know you listen to me. But I have a handicap, and it's crippling me, and it's disabling me, and it's keeping me from being who you intended me to be. I do not want to live this disabled, crippled Christian life anymore. I want to be whole, and I want to give it to you. Please give me the courage and the strength to resist it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. We appreciate you. Pastors, thank you so much. Thank you.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.